Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to Hoosier Huddles After the Dust Settles on Indiana's 21-14 loss. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is Alex Compton. Alex is at the game at Lucas Oil Stadium in the stands. I was way up in the rafters with Don Fisher and Rhett Lewis doing stats for them. I'm sure he had a much better view or closer view than I had way up at the press box at Lucas Oil Stadium. I don't think they could have built it higher, but a disappointing 21-14 loss for Indiana. They get shut out in the first half, 21-0. Shut out Louisville in the second half, 14-0. While there's a lot of things that could point to, oh, same old Indiana, you know, it stopped at the goal line and things like that, there's also plenty to be excited about. You had Tavon Jackson broke out in the second half. Looked like the offense found its identity in the second half as well. The defense, if you told me last week that they would hold Louisville to 21 points, I would say that they would win. And that's a theme all season, it looks like so far. If you told me, hey, you'd hold Ohio State to 23 points as well, you're probably in that game till the end. But I thought the defense played outside of two or three plays in the first half, played well. Yeah. Aaron Casey had the play of the game, tackling two guys on a double reverse. Kind of got lucky that that wasn't a fumble. Louisville did. But, Alex, what was your take? Take us through the whole weekend first. It was a neutral site game at Lucas Oil Stadium. To me, the game, I didn't go to any of the pregame festivities or anything like that, but the game had a bowl game type feel. Both end zones are painted for each team. You had the intro videos for each team. You had video pump-up videos for each team. Just, you know, what was the atmosphere around as a fan?
Yeah, I would say I did have a better view because no one in front of me stood up to cheer the whole game. So was one section over from the players' families and stuff. And I felt like I was the one that had to get everybody into the game. But yeah, it was about 20 rows up. I mean, it's a beautiful stadium. That was my first time there for a game. So that was really nice. Loved the stadium. Thought it was a really great place to watch a game. Got in on Friday, got dinner, met up with some people, and then got ready. I went to the official tailgate on Saturday morning at the Bullseye Event Center, you know, kitty corner from the arena or stadium, which was great. It was $40, breakfast included, beer and wine included, band came through, cheerleaders, Red Steppers, a lot of fun. They have these cool video boards, and they had some posters and buttons and all that stuff, so that was great. Super glad we did that. I thought that atmosphere was great and a good way to start the day. Walked over to the stadium and then obviously watched the game. But Friday night, you could tell on Friday, I thought there were more Louisville people there. So I was a little bit worried about the turnout. I thought it ended up being probably 60-40 Louisville, so not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But more people I saw wearing Cardinals stuff on Friday night, which makes sense. I figured we'd have more of a drive-up crowd or drive-in crowd for the game, you know, with most of our people being local. But yeah, it was good. I think it took us a little while fan-wise to get into the game, as it looked like the team as well. But a lot of fun. I wish that was week one instead of week three. But I think it's fine. I don't want it to be something we do a lot. And I'm glad we got out of the rest of the series. But fun once in a while, some good moments. I'm sure a good memory for most of the guys when they look back on it. But yeah, overall a fun weekend besides the first half, the first quarter, really.
Yeah, you know, the first quarter, Indiana's offense is moving the ball. They get inside the opponent's 40 or across the 50, and it just, you know, stalled or fell apart. You know, you don't really – Indiana hasn't gone to the red zone all that much this year. I think it's 8 times and they're 7 for 8 in scoring. You really don't know what your field goal range is for Chris Freeman or Nico Radichich, because they haven't been able to attempt a 45-yard field goal or a 50-yard field goal in some spots that may be something to watch for against Akron. Can you run those guys out for field goal? But to me, they got Jalen Lucas the ball early, and then they stopped. They didn't get conservative on offense, but they failed to spread the defense out, which they did in the second half. And all of a sudden, you're gashing the Cardinals for big plays. Cam Camper made great play downfield. Jalen Lucas is wide open on the touchdown against a linebacker for 30 yards. And you do a funky formation where like three or four linemen come out. And I wrote a note to Rhett Lewis during that. I said, that's not the craziest formation we've seen in that building. If Colts fans remember or don't want to remember the fake punt where it's just the center and the quarterback, but that play worked great. They got 12 yards, got Jalen Lucas in space. So all this, I know people are not fans of Walt Bell, and I get it and I understand it, but you can't kill Walt Bell for that second half. He got creative. If you're saying he's predictable and you could predict that play, please, please send me your lottery numbers. And things like that. But, it came down to that fourth down play. I thought we had a Michael Penix 2.0, the reach there. But, he was just down right before the ball hit the pylon, and they didn't have a good angle down the goal line, which maybe if this game was on Fox or NBC or CBS, they have the pylon cam. But it was on Big Ten alternate channel, like 9. So you know that, they have a GoPro at an angle somewhere. Looked like the right call. I didn't agree with the timeout before it. I thought, you had the review, which is a natural timeout. Now you don't know. You can figure the ball should have been down at the half yard line. At worst, you have the ball at the 2. You need to go into that saying, hey, we have 2 plays. And things like that. Yeah, they probably should have run a quarterback, a quarterback sneak. Or to all these people on Twitter who didn't watch the play said, hey, did they run a draw? Guess what? A draw probably works there too. But it was a slow developing play where it allowed the edge to get in and stop Josh Henderson's second effort. And that was the game. Once Jack Plummer rolled out and got that first down, it was, Indiana had a snowball's chance in hell there. But
that fourth uphill down climb play, after that uphill climb on that drive anyway, but you can't give up a first down on third down when they're running the ball and you know they're going to run the ball. So that ticked me off at the end of the game. You would have got the ball back with 30 seconds, no timeouts, but you can't. You know they're running the ball. If you get beat deep for a touchdown, that's fine, good for them. But you can't give up a first down on a run play, and that's what happened. So that was frustrating. But yeah, I mean, that fourth down play, let's just get out of the way. I'm glad they didn't get overly cute. I don't really understand the pulling and kind of the trap play. But at the same time, that's what they ran to score the touchdown, the second touchdown with Henderson. I think it was the same play, just flipped sides. So I don't hate the call. I'm sure everyone mad at the call has been clamoring for 15 years for us to run a goal line play under center and do exactly what we just did. But yeah, I mean, tough that it came down to that, but we had chances the rest of the game to make that not the case. And unfortunately, didn't happen, but lot to like in the second half. Like you said, Sammy, I think Jackson ended up with 299, so we'll round up to 300. So it was good to see. And you did mention the thing I liked best about the second half on both sides of the ball was that Gary, it was his birthday. So happy birthday, Coach Guerrieri. And then Bell, they both rode the momentum and they rode the hot hands in the second half, which I liked, and it was good. And you could tell on offense when he got a sense of what was working coming out of that second half that they kept riding it and kept going to it, which I thought was good. So Jackson settled down a lot more in the second half. He missed some gimme throws that you just have to have in the first half. Maybe the score is different if he does some of that, but a lot to like. It sucks it ended how it did, but again, I think now you look at the rest of the schedule, and we talked about this being one of the toss-up games like we did before the season, but Indiana is going to be in probably every game for the rest of the season. So obviously Michigan and Penn State are tough, but I think if you play defense and move the ball like you did and control the ball like you did yesterday, you have a chance to be in every game the rest of the way.
Yeah, in Indiana, I think, has played Michigan the closest of the Big Ten, even closer than Ohio State, the last handful of years. But, you know, to me, momentum change coming out of halftime with the onside kick, that is a Kevin Wilson gambler move. You know, you didn't think that Tom Allen had it in him, but it seemed like he made the decision late in the second quarter, going, hey, we need some juice, let's onside kick it. They executed it to perfection. They went down in three plays, scored a touchdown. They got the stop. Now, I know people are killing Tom Allen for his game management, but there was a third and nine or third and 14 early in the second half where he wanted to take he took a timeout, and because he got the stop, it's a good timeout. You needed that stop there. If they went down and scored, that game is over, and it doesn't matter. Can't take those timeouts with you. The timeout that I didn't like is the timeout after the review on that fourth and goal stop. One, you already had a natural timeout in the review. Two, you're giving Louisville another 2 minutes. That defense is gassed. You're giving them another few minutes to recover. Especially along the defensive line. And then the timeouts in the first half. First half timeouts are almost meaningless. But that was inexperience on Taven Jackson's,
part. Couple times he didn't know what was going on.
Getting the audible in late or changing the play at the line of scrimmage. I think, he's a little hyped up for his first start as QB1. You saw it in his high throws. He threw a couple high to McCulley. One ended up in an interception. You hope that – I think we had one commenter on the site that said, if that game was the price to pay for Taven Jackson to find his sea legs and become a good quarterback, fine. You take it.
Yeah.
And you go the rest of the way. Anything else stand out for you on Saturday, Alex?
Yeah, I think Jackson was really good. We had a couple people tweet at us, which, again, we always appreciate, and we're always going to respond. So if you see stuff during the game, after the game, observations that you tweet at us, we'll always, always respond. But forget who it was, but a couple people commented on Jackson's ability to maneuver in the pocket, which I think is very underrated and something, especially in college, you don't think about all the time. But there were pockets there for him to step up into or move around in, which obviously is the first part, and you need a decent O-line to do that, and they played well. But Jackson was able to step up into some pockets, move around in some pockets, and make some throws. And you could tell while he was doing that, he was still looking downfield. We haven't had that in a while. Dexter, would look to run or look a little panicked because he's inexperienced as well. Bazelak would just fold. So that was nice to see. He had a guy kind of keep his head, keep his cool, move around and make some plays. And we need a guy back there that just can just make some plays. So it was really good to see. Offensive line, I thought, was really good again. I would have liked to see a little bit more creativity in the run game, but I think in the second half they found what was working again, which I liked, and they just rode it. Henderson, I think, had that one longer catch in the middle. I would have liked to see him get a little more involved. I think he had a screen pass as well. He had a couple catches, I think, but would have liked to see Henderson get a little more involved in the passing game, which I think is something we could tap into a little bit more. Bradley Archer with a nice grab, although I think Jackson missed the read on that one, which was Cooper on the boundary for a touchdown. But O-line was good again. I thought Jackson really settled down. I think the one thing he really needs to work on, and it's been a problem in all three games now, he has been bad at deciding when to pull the RPO or when to run it or when to give it. He's been really bad in the run game, deciding if he needs to hand the ball off or keep it on those read option plays was a problem again. He's just not a good runner side to side at all. He's not quick. he's pretty good in straight line because he's just bigger. So some of those draws, and they ran a QB power one play, but that's been a problem and a concern. And if you're going to run kind of the shotgun, RPO, triple option stuff, and Jackson really is hurting you when he's keeping the ball and he can't make the right read, makes that less effective. And I think you're going to see that fade out as the season goes on here. I think you're going to have to go away from it a little bit. But I think three or four times again yesterday essentially were sacks, because I thought the action was there for the running back to take the ball. He keeps it and he just can't get to the edge and he loses yardage. So that's something they got to clean up, because especially on first down, we can't have negative plays in the run game like that.
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of drives where it was first and second down, set up a bad third down, especially in the second half. You know, there weren't that many drives in the second half, but it's those drives where you get an incomplete pass on a short pass, or, you know, a quarterback run for no gain. I thought Taven in the first half needed to be more decisive. There were a couple times where he thought maybe the things opened up in the middle of the field and he could have ran it for first down, especially late in the second quarter when he ran out of bounds. I really would have liked to see him go for that first down.
You got to make him call timeout. That one got me fired up too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, got to make Louisville call timeout there. And maybe instead of a 4th-and-3, it's a 4th-and-1, and you get aggressive there. And who knows, if it's 21-3 or 21-7.5, it might be a different story. But overall, it's the same old – my mom described it perfectly. She was at the game too. She said the first half was extremely boring and terrible. And then it got really exciting. And then we fell off a cliff. And if you can't sum up Indiana football better than that, you know, boring, super fun, fell off a cliff. That's, you know, if you're going to put it on the back of a movie, that's what it is. But, it's a game I'm happy they're not playing it anymore. You know, it could be cool to play at Lucas Oil, you know, once every 4 or 5 years, and just build that neutral site experience, but it's a game that you hope Indiana can build off of and get guys back healthy. You got to get Matt Bedford back. I know he ended up playing. You got to get Nick Toomer. I think if Nick Toomer plays, it's a different story, and things like that. So, you know, get healthy. And now, you know, we said Louisville was the most important game of the season. It's now Maryland's a must-win game. You got to go. You have 6 toss-up games left. You got to go 4-2. Maryland's kind of a must-win before you go to Michigan, or have a bye and then go to Michigan and go to homecoming, because morale could get pretty low if you come out of the bye. You know, go into the bye with a loss at Maryland and come out of a bye and get spanked by Michigan before homecoming. But this game was important for a lot of reasons. You had a lot of alumni come down that this might be their only game that they go to, and things like this. So that's why this game was important too. Plus, it would set you up to go 3-1 into the Maryland game and with some momentum and with some excitement. So it's disappointing, but it's not the end of the season.
Yeah, not a lot left to play for, a lot to like. I think you're going to be in every game now. I think that Louisville offense is probably going to be one of the better ones you're going to see the rest of the year, which was good. We're a quarter of the way through the regular season. I think defense has just been very solid, which is nice to see, kind of back to the old form. Offense, I think, has been improved. This is a much better team than it was last year. Got to win now is the problem. But I think offense, one of my favorite stats so far is we're 25th in the country completing third downs at 54.8%. So I think that shows a good sign of better game management and a better plan. Defense, we're top 40 in a lot of categories, 34th in total yards, 29th in passing yards. So a lot of good stuff. I think now it's got to translate you got to keep building. And I think we're rotating a lot of guys, which is good, and it's going to help later in the season. But yeah, you got to build and you got to win six. So there's games on the schedule that you can win. Purdue lost a home again to a school that's, you know, not notoriously great in Syracuse. Illinois looked pretty bad again.
Purdue looked clueless.
Yeah.
Like clueless. Garrett Schrader faked a handoff, stood in the backfield for like 10 seconds with the ball, and nobody was within 10 yards of him.
Yeah.
Purdue might be in trouble. You know, they have a short week against Wisconsin this week. New coaching staff. We'll see if they check out.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan State is a tire fire. Michael Penix continued his awesome play against the Spartans, going back to his IU days.
Yeah, he loves that stadium.
He loves that stadium, and he probably should be 3-0 in that stadium as well. But, you know, you look, Rutgers is, you know, are they – you don't know what they are yet. They haven't really played anybody. Virginia Tech's terrible. Maryland is a mystery. You know, they were down 14-0 against Virginia last week. They probably should have lost to Charlotte. They didn't look great against – who is it, Mercer or Murray State in the opener. You know, an FCS team, they didn't run away with it. Their run game is not as good as it was last year, from at least statistically.
MB's now, good, but, yeah, overall not, yeah.
Yeah, it's not – this is not the Maryland team that's running for 230 yards, from last year. But they still have some playmakers. Their defense turned the game against Virginia on Friday night as well. But there's gettable games. There are. Wisconsin struggled against Georgia Southern. They lost to Washington State out there. You know, there are some gettable games on this schedule.
Yeah, you got to – if you play like you did yesterday in the second half, I think you're winning six games. I think the question now is – and it's been the question the last few years, can you consistently play four quarters, which has been kind of the challenge for Tom Allen and his tenure so far. There's a lot of bright spots, obviously a lot of low spots, but can you consistently play good football? And that's been kind of the problem. So, again, I liked it again. I really wish the game ended differently. Would have been a ton of fun. But besides that 4th-and-1 play, there were other chances in the game to make a play or score another touchdown. So,
another 4th-and-short where, you know, I hate to blame referee. I thought the officiating was terrible.
It was really
on both sides. They let a lot of things go. But, you know, the 4th-and-short, they run 2 in breaking slants, both guys get tackled. You know, if they don't tackle Cam Camper, that's at least a minimum of 1st down. Instead, they turn it over on downs. If Andre Carter got held all game, I think they called it once, and things like that. Now, IU was probably guilty of some pass interferences as well that they didn't call and things like that. But it's a game where you just hope this isn't the game you look back at sitting at 4-8 or 5-7 going, man, if we just won that one. You know, that's kind of what last year was, man. If we just beat Rutgers, if we just beat Nebraska, or, you know, whatever one loss game, you know, one score games, you know, we're in there as well. You know, just beat Maryland. That's been the story, and I think that's where people get so dejected watching this team is, you know, it's very similar to years past. You just hope that this isn't the one that you just kick yourself. You know, Minnesota in 2013. The list goes on and on. You could do it forever. But you just hope that they could come out. Now, Akron is a game that they should win. And win pretty handily and get their spirits back up going into Maryland. But it's a game where you hope to see the offense play like they did in the second half for 4 quarters. You're not going to be rotating quarterbacks. Sure, if it's a blowout, maybe you see Brandon Sorsby come in the 4th quarter and run the offense, just in case, because who knows, you might have an injury and you need to run the offense. But you want to play a full 4 quarters. But a positive, Alex, there were no special teams penalties.
Yeah.
There was no running into the kicker, no blocks in the back. Now, they didn't have a ton of chances to return. return anything, but they also didn't mess up.
Didn't kick it out of bounds.
No, they didn't kick it out of bounds either. So we went 3-for-3 in the special teams penalty trifecta there. But it's a game where you're tempted to say same old Indiana, but we'll see. We'll see how the season plays out and how it goes. I think it was a good experience. I think it was a good fan experience from what you were saying. Like the bowl experiences down in Florida in 2019 and 2020. So it's, we'll see. Can Indiana capitalize on just a little bit of momentum? Even though it's not a moral victory, there is some momentum you could take into Akron and eventually into Maryland.
Yeah, going to have to. I think that's the only choice now. But I thought Taven showed why they liked him and why he was so highly recruited. So I thought that was good. He had a little bit of swagger, a little bit of moxie, and you could tell the team kind of followed his lead in the second half there, which was good. Just need guys to make plays. That's really going to be the story of the season now. So we were one or two plays short, and it took us a little too long to get going. Maybe if you get that busted coverage back, it's a different game, but
yeah, or find James Bamba wide open down the field on an offsides call.
Yeah.
You know, that game I think it would have been 7-0 IU. Or at least 7-7, and it's totally different. You got to get, I know you had trouble with fans cheering. You also got to give them something to cheer about as well. Yeah, well, third down on defense, but you also got to give them a third down conversion, some points in the first half. It goes both ways. There, you could will a defense to a stop, and you could also reward your fans' patience or lack thereof of patience. Reward them by making a play too, and I think that's what they started to do in the second half. We'll see what they do against Akron on Saturday night. It's a 7:30 kick on Big Ten Network. And, we'll see. Going on, you get Maryland from there. You have to go to Michigan, and then you get Rutgers. If you could go 3-1 in this stretch, you're sitting pretty.
Yeah, we'll see. Got to have it. But, again, I think if you play like you did in the most recent 30 minutes of Indiana football, I think you find yourself hopefully playing somewhere warm in December or January, because that was impressive and a lot to like, but just a few plays short. And I think we have the guys to make the plays, but now you got to make them.
Does Detroit count as warm since it's in the dome?
I'll take it. We could play in outside in Fargo, North Dakota in February for all I care. Give me 13.
Yeah. All right, Alex, thanks for joining us for After the Dust Settles. TJ and I will be back tomorrow to preview the Akron game, get TJ's thoughts on Louisville as well. Again, Indiana's next game Saturday in Bloomington, 7:30 kickoff. So plenty of time to tailgate, plenty of time to maybe enjoy the weather. We'll see. Fall has come pretty quickly here in the Midwest, but enjoy the weather, do your outdoor activities, and get to Memorial Stadium for, the MAC has upset a few Power 5 teams. Hopefully not on Saturday in Bloomington at 7:30. If you can't make it, it'll be on BTN. And you can always listen to Don Fisher and Rhett Lewis on the IU Radio Network. Follow us at HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Hoosier_Huddle. And same handle on Instagram at Hoosier_Huddle. Alex, thanks for taking the time tonight. Fans, thank you for listening as well.